Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Something that we always need to ask when approaching Scripture, and especially the prophets in the Old Testament, is why did this prophet write this passage in this way to these people at this time? Context is key. The prophets are writing for us today, of course, but they also had a reason at that time for their message. And once we understand what they were saying to their original audience, we can also understand what these words mean for us today. In the case of the prophet Joel, our Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday, Joel is writing to the people of Israel on the occasion of a plague of locusts that had ravaged their countryside, utterly destroying all their crops and leaving them with absolutely nothing. Why had God allowed this to happen to them, they were asking. Where was God when this disaster was taking place? How could they stop this tragedy and prevent anything like it from happening in the future? That is what our Old Testament reading for this evening meant to those original hearers. So then the question arises, what does it mean for us today in 2023? We aren't dependent on farming for our livelihoods, as far as I can tell, not like my previous congregation in Kansas was, where everyone was a farmer or rancher. And I don't remember the last time a locust plague in particular had that kind of impact in America. The closest might be the Dust Bowl back almost 100 years ago, but I don't think that involved locusts. And yet, Joel's call to repentance is just as valid and important for us today as it was in the time of Joel 2,500 plus years ago. After all, smart people learn from their own mistakes. The truly wise learn from the mistakes of others. And so Joel's message in our reading breaks down into three words: repent, return, and relent. First, the call to repentance, which actually comes before our reading today in Joel chapter 1, where Joel writes, "Put on sackcloth and lament, O priests, wail, O ministers of the altar. Go in, pass the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God, because grain offering and drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord." And note in there all of the specific acts which Joel urges. Put on sackcloth, lament, fasting, assembling, gathering, crying out, all things that the people are to do as a show of their repentance or their that they are repenting from their sins. These are all the outward expressions of repentance. Wearing uncomfortable, itchy sackcloth shows the irritation of sin, the cost that sin has on the body. It's a visible, it's a reminder all through the day of just what happened. Fasting focuses us on the deprivation. For Israel, this is a reminder that they have deprived their God of the sacrifices that he desires. And so, because they have withheld from God food, they withhold food from themselves. And we can add the ashes in here as well, which was a common expression in the Old Testament of sadness or of grief or mourning or repentance was to cover one's head with ashes. That's a reminder that we come from ashes and return to ashes. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Our sins are black and filthy on us like these ashes. But there is more to repentance than just the outward expressions thereof, of course. Repentance has two parts. First, it is the sorrow over our sins, that we have done all these wrong things, disobeyed God's word. Our thoughts, our words, our actions are contrary to God's will. We have done the wrong thing. We have failed to do all the right things, the good works that God demands. And God's law is absolute on this point. God demands absolute perfection in thought, word, and deed from all people. And we cannot measure up to that standard. And when we fall short of God's standard, when we fall short under God's law, that is called sin. When we feel the sorrow over sin, when we feel sorry for all of the bad things that we have done, the bad thoughts that we have had, when we feel our sorrow over sin, that is the first step in repentance. In repentance, God calls us to turn away from sin. And so then the second part of repentance is faith in God, faith in God's forgiveness, which means that we return to God seeking him. To repent in Hebrew actually means to turn or to turn back. And so in repentance, we turn away from sin, but if we are turning away from something, then we are also turning towards something else. We turn away from God when we turn back toward, or we turn away from sin and we turn back toward God, which is what we see in our reading from Joel, where Joel begins, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents over disaster." Here, the focus is no longer just on the outward expressions of repentance and mourning, the wearing sackcloth and ashes, the fasting and gathering together in the temple. No, it isn't enough to do all of the outward acts. It isn't enough to do it all on the outside if it doesn't impact the inside, the heart. And that is where faith, the second part of repentance, comes into play. And this is a common call that all of the prophets give to turn away from sin, turn back toward God. Jonah, when he preached to Nineveh, called on them to turn away from their wickedness, turn toward the God of all the earth. After the exile, the prophet Ezekiel called on the exiles to return to God while they were still in Babylon, to turn back to God and put their trust in him even while they are away from God's promised land. Return to faith in God. Return to the one who created you and redeemed you. During this Lenten season, consider the cost of your sins. Consider the price that God paid in killing his own son to pay the penalty for your sins. Consider what God has done for you. Consider and turn back to him. And so, when we turn toward God, we place our trust in Him. God, our Father, is the one who created us, who made us to be holy and perfect in His image. And because He created us, He does not give up on us when we sin, but instead He calls us to repentance, calls us to repent from our sins and to return to Him. Faith comes from God, is a gift that God gives to us that comes into us and grows in us through our baptism. And so by faith, we put our trust in God and in His promises. When we return to God, when we repent of our sins, when we turn away from evil, who knows? Perhaps He will relent of the evil that He has threatened against those who sin against Him, which is exactly what God promises. In our reading, verse 14 does leave some doubt here as to how God is going to respond. Who knows whether He will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Now, this isn't overly unusual, though. The king of Nineveh, when Jonah preached to Nineveh, had the same response to Jonah's preaching of perhaps God will relent of the disaster that He has told against us. Repentance isn't about trying to game the system. Repentance isn't about just doing enough or just doing the bare minimum so that God will forgive us. We can't trick God that way. Repentance is about true, genuine grief over sin, about the true contrition and sorrow over what we have done, desire for God's forgiveness, something that comes from the heart. We approach God in humility, trusting in Him, that we come to Him with nothing, asking for anything that He will give. We cannot presume on God's grace and mercy towards us. But that hint of doubt, that who knows whether He will not, that hint of doubt is only on the human side. We don't know the mind of God. God's ways are beyond ours. God's thoughts are above ours. We can't know what God's plans are going to be beyond what He reveals. And so, how much of a blessing it is for us that God does reveal His plan to us. In our reading, Joel does not leave us in doubt for long. Verse 18 and 19 show God's immediate response to the people's repentance, to their returning to Him. Then the Lord became jealous for His land and had pity on His people. The Lord answered and said to His people, "Behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. I will no more make you a reproach among the nations." The people had repented of their sins. They had returned to the Lord your God with mourning in sackcloth and ashes. The people gathered together for worship and confessed their sins. And God's answer comes right away that He is jealous for His people. He is protective of His people. He forgives and reclaims His people. So, how do you feel about God's punishment and judgment against sin? Certainly not a plague of locusts, though the dire predictions for today's weather sounded almost that bad. But I can't presume to know how you might feel God's judgment on yourself today or this week. But I can tell you that God listens, that God cares about His people, that God cares about you. That now is an excellent time to take to heart Joel's message of repentance as we enter this Lenten season, to repent of our sins, to return to the Lord with our whole heart, to trust in Him that He relents of His anger against us for our sins, and he instead gives us the blessings that he promises. Because as God's people standing here at the beginning of the season of Lent, we already know how the story is going to end. God's calls to repentance return to him. They ultimately did bear fruit 2,000 years ago. We know what God did to secure his people's release from the bonds of their sins. He sent his only son to become a human being like us, to experience the want and hunger and suffering and temptation that we do, to call people to repentance, to heal them, to give faith and bring people back to God. We know that his son paid the full price for our sins. God did not relent of his punishment against sin, but instead he placed the full weight of that punishment on Jesus. For you, for me, for everyone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.